from Nevada.
Hey,
Olga
Greenwood
from Davenport, Florida.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Olga from Davenport, Florida.
Yes, welcome to the call. Thanks for being here. Hey, Don, I cannot hear Jeffrey's music.
Say Don or
Donna? It's Don. Don at CBS Radio. There we go, thank you. We are about to go live on CBS. So we welcome everybody to the question and answer call. Good evening, welcome to the question.
Answer
call, please say your name and location.
Anna, from California.
Anna, welcome to
Hey,
Don. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. More people joined in. We see your name and location.
Steven Flagstaff.
Hey, Steve. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing?
All right. Good.
Hope this one works better than Monday. So I'll let you hear it.
No, we all hope so. More people have joined in. Welcome everybody to the call. We see your name and location.
Humboldt.
I hear Julia. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I hear somebody from Denver. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Hi, Diana in Muncie, New York.
Hi, Diana. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
I'm Greg. I'm from Gold Falls, Idaho.
Good evening, Greg. Thank you for being here.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right. More people have joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Susan, Delaware.
Good evening, Susan. Welcome to the call. How are you? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the question and answer call. Please say your name and location.
Madison from New York.
Hey, Madison. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Daryl from Roanoke, Virginia.
Hi, Daryl. Welcome to the call.
Lynn Belton.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Good evening. Welcome to the question and answer call. Please say your name and location.
Lynn Belton from California.
Good evening and thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
All right.
Yeah, I think I just muted.
I think we're live on BBS, so I want to welcome all those who have joined on BBS. We are still waiting for Wynn to he'll be here in just a moment. And I want to welcome the person who just called in. Please say your name and location.
Oh, we're muted.
Okay, great. That's fine.
Muted.
You're kind of muffly, kind of dark sounding.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
It's getting better, yes.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me mute people.
Muted.
Welcome, everybody. Start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. This is Wednesday, 10-10, Jasmine Free in Westminster, California, of all places. And thank you all for bearing with us on Monday. Believe it or not, you can probably hear I have kind of a cold. And we overdid it over the weekend. You know, we were at the Conscious Life Expo, and it was a 3-day show. And by the time it was over on Monday, I was falling over, literally. There was so much energy output, I had to concentrate, not fall. And Terry, how are you, Terry? Hang on a second.
kind of overdid it too, trying to keep up with everything and get everything done, and driving half the night to get there to the expo, and so I'm recovering too. And also on Monday, we were just really, really dead tired, so we did a replay. And I understand that some people couldn't hear it.
Next time, if we do a replay, we'll prepare it in advance and edit it and make sure that it comes out okay on BBS Radio. But just letting you know that we are very human and we get really tired. And I don't know if you heard the Sunday grid hearing, but it was really unusual because it started out at 10, and for some mistaken reason, with a mistake, they booked my lecture at 11. So we actually just went from the grid healing at 10 into the lecture, and something I never did before. And it was interesting because I was holding the energy for both things, and it was like, it was a very intense lecture. And nonetheless, we're still recuperating. Believe it or not, that when we do these things, I think what happens is, everything we do, everything everyone does, we're always combining our energies, if we're open, to what we do, what we involve ourselves with, who we're with. And sometimes, it can be overwhelming, depending on who your energies are combining with. So particularly, a bunch of people that are healing me for the first time, which is what happened at the expo, it takes a tremendous output of energy to reach them, or to try to reach them. And then we did a workshop, which you guys weren't privy to, Sunday night for 3 hours. So that's why Monday we were so out of it. And I'm still kind of out of it. I'm still recuperating. You can probably hear it in my voice. So tonight's the night that we ask questions that you have submitted, and we never know what's going to happen and what's going to be brought forth. And just for the constant disclaimer, the channeled material is not meant to be believed blindly, and that it's always possible when someone is channeling to bleed through part of their conscious mind. And I know that happens with both Terry and Daphne at different times. And it's also possible to have a negative source take over and start talking. And that one, I don't think happens that much, but still it's possible. If I'm ever sure that it occurred, I certainly will give everyone a heads up. Because a negative source doesn't sound negative. It sounds like it knows what it's talking about, and it uses all the same vocabulary. Obviously, in this period of time right now, we are approaching this December 21st date, which many people have a lot of anticipation about. And one thing I'm going to, we had questions about this. I'm probably not going to ask these questions directly, but we have asked many, many questions about this particular topic in the past. And it has to do with our ETs going to save us. There is a lot of ET activity on our planet right now. And many groups are saying that these ETs are going to intervene and stop some of the negative agendas. And according to our answers to the questions concerning this, that's not the way it's going to work. That many of the ETs that we see, many of the spaceships, are actually service to self groups. And in one of the agendas, there are service to self groups that would like to take us over, and that are actually channeling through what we call the elite and giving them instructions. And when you try to figure this out by Googling stuff, which I have, there's so much, how would I say it, layers upon layers of disinformation that it is really hard to find up from them. But one of the things that I've learned about the Elohim and Ra group is that their concern is for us to evolve spiritually and to create energetic connections that allow us to evolve our DNA. And giving up your power to an outside source does not evolve you spiritually. So that, in general, anything which makes you disempowered and waiting for an outside source to do something is probably not positive. And that has to do with ET's landing. It has to do with waiting for a messiah. It has to do with waiting for something to abolish all the debt. And in my observations, I haven't seen anything like that be actually any reason to believe it's positive. When we ask the question, are there any ET groups that are helping us, and how are they doing that? The answer was that the higher dimensions, there are certain groups that are working on creating portals and wormholes. And that's all they said. And the ETs that we see, even the messages that people get from ETs, I would be very leery of. Now, I could be wrong. I'm just telling you what my information is. I did run this by Carla Ruckert, and she has the same information. So you can draw your own conclusions about this. We have some really good questions tonight, and let me see here. Are you ready, Jerry? No. She says, as ready as ever. So you have to excuse our low energy for this evening, but it is what it is, and we're showing up irregardless. And let me call it in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on the line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and released to the highest, released and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now, and we will turn it over to our sources. Say hello to us. We carry.
Greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is October 10th, 2012, on planet Earth, location California, is where we are centered. However, we are also non-linearly connected and in contact with each and every person that wishes to have contact made with them, wherever they may be and wherever they may listen to this channeling, or they may read a transcript. It is our honor to have such contact, and it is a sacred moment that we are able to make contact. Do you have questions?
Thank you. Hi, is this Terry Wilderness?
Yes, he is.
She is. Okay, great. We're using a different mic setup today. By the way, hello to everybody on PBS. And this is a question from Ron. Ron, I believe in Mexico. It's a two-part question. And it is about the power or energy contained in a well-formulated question. Much has been written and demonstrated about the energy contained in the asking of a question. A question is what seems to initiate our communication with Source. And that may be because asking a question of Source demonstrates we are taking the first important step toward Source. We are acknowledging its presence. So can you explain the questioning process in terms of how it works, why it works, when it works, and importantly, if you were to ask us as a group one important question, what would you ask us?
We are smiling. We like this question. When we are able to connect with you, it is a very important moment in time. And we want the connection to be pertinent to you. We want the energy to flow. So we want it to be on a subject that you care about, that you are interested in, that you wish to know more about, because it is this interest that carries your vibration through the veil to us. So we determine what the topic will be by asking you to ask us, that will put us on the same page and will allow us to provide an avenue for whatever growth we can for you, and an avenue for you to expand in some area which you wish to expand into, to know more about, some area you wish to open up, to release a stuckness and to grow. So, what question do we have for you? And is that question for you personally, or is it a question for the group? We are here. We are visiting in your density, as we are from the 10th density, and we then are vibrating in your sphere, and we are vibrating with you if you wish that. And if you do not wish that, then we do not interfere with your choices. Could you repeat any part of the question that is still open?
I believe I can make I'm not sure where that strange sound came from, but it seems to be
now we'll hit you again, Lynn.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to look at the board. Did you hear that sound come in, Hines?
We could not hear you, but we heard a crazy sound, yeah, but we didn't hear any of your voice.
Right, we heard the crazy sound, too. Okay, Ron asked, let me just find his question. He said, if you were going to ask us as a group one important question, what would that be? And of course, the group is not going to answer this. But I think he's saying, from your point of view, who is looking at us, if you had a question for us, what would it be?
For you, our question would be nothing that we are trying to elicit information from you, as we are able to obtain information, but something that would allow you to think farther about your future. What do you envision your future growth to be, when, and if you were to realize that you continue after the transition, after your body passes on, and you as a being continue, what do you, how would this change your life if you envisioned your life as continuing after that we would ask that question with the hope it would trigger more thought in the area, more investigation as to how you direct your life so that you can make a smooth transition. It could make differences in the way you live your life, in the way you connect with those you love, in the way that you collect things that you may not be able to take with you. That is their answer.
Thank you. From Steve Willard in Flagstaff. It seems that the vibratory rate of the planet has been changing as we move towards the fourth density. The change has been gradual but steady, as I perceive it. Will we continue gradual change until the shift completes, or will there be a sudden major shift?
A gradual change that is gradually increasing in tempo, increasing in vibration, and thinning the veil between your realm and the other realm. The veil is getting thinner the higher the vibration that you experience in the third density, as you are moving up the scale into more awareness, more psychic ability, more ability to connect, more perception. Will this continue, and will it be a sudden jump? We see that there may be some skips and jumps, and that it will reach a point and then will begin gradually to level off and to receive a division, wherein some individuals will hold to the higher frequency, other individuals will not be able to hold to the higher frequency and will then move into an area of the universe that is comfortable for them. That is their answer.
Thank you. I know many people, I'm going to add this to Steve's question, many people are anticipating, concerned, as we approach December 21st, 2012, which is the official end date of the Mayan calendar, that there might be certain events perpetrated by the negative to destabilize everyone. What is the potential for those kind of events to occur as of this moment?
There are a number of avenues that have been explored to make events happen, make events happen that would then destabilize things. In the different areas of biology, viruses, nuclear radiation release. There are things such as potential for stabilization of the electric grid, and we are working to help stabilize things that things can move smoothly on, and there can be recovery from the economic downturn, and that individuals can prosper and grow. We are working for that, and there are individuals that would work in the area to destabilize things through war and sickness. However, we work to stabilize Earth so that Earth can move past, people can move past those things are there, those things around here that individuals have been putting together, and we work to stabilize things so that these things do not take over or gain superiority.
This is from Erica. Why are the animals seemingly being unprotected just because? Why are animals being unprotected by the higher sources? Why do we have such horrible murders of dolphins, whales, and other animals? And why is there not happening? Why is there not something done to protect them? You know, that sound that's coming in is coming from your phone. I just muted you, so it should be okay. That's the question.
Thank you. Give us a moment. This question is even more broad-ranging than the person asked. Is that many people are experiencing difficulties. Many children go missing. There are many animals that are not treated correctly. And we as the Elohim are not the ones to step in and govern how these things are managed. These things are left to the individuals in the third density. They are left to animal souls. They are left to the dolphin soul to work out their connection with each other and to grow. We see that many people do not like this answer. However, we are a source of love for everyone, for the animals, for the people, for the different races, and when they grow to ask for protection, when they grow to wish protection even, then we can come in and protect them.
Thank you. We have a question here from Bridget, whose father, after a long illness, chose to end his life a couple of days ago. And this has her wondering whether souls who choose to end their own lives are put through the same afterlife process or a different afterlife process as those who do not take their own life after they transition over. Thank you.
Thank you. Where is Bridget located? In answer to your question, individuals have a say. Each individual has their own intention, their own desires, and are working through their own path. Therefore, each one is handled accordingly, according to their own disposition, their own desires, their own regrets. As we do see regret, as many people who take their life do not think of all the consequences and all that they are going to be losing, even if they are moving out of a difficult circumstance. It is all geared, all the things that happen are geared to that individual's outlook, to their desires, to their movement on the path, what they wish to obtain. We see in this case regret that it was not known that the individual would continue and would have perception and would miss things. We recommend that you talk to your father. You tell him what you have wanted to tell him during your life. And even write it down in some way. To some degree, he will get it.
Thank you. Lisa Bauer asks, how can she help her husband with his rage and shame issues, which are a result of childhood trauma? Can you offer any suggestions? should I encourage him to meditate? I want him to have a passion for life instead of the rage he so often exhibits. And I'm nearing a time when I must make a decision after 19 years of marriage, now a 5-year-old daughter. Thank you. Her name is Lisa Bauer, and I don't think I have her location.
Express. It is coming out as rage. He has great passion, and he has not known how to move forward, and he is trying to make huge breakthroughs against something that has stopped him, against the barrier. During his childhood, a barrier at being able to do something that he wishes to do, and this rage has great power, and he has chosen different targets that are not the same as when he was a child, but in dealing with it, although it is difficult to deal with, perhaps you can get him talking about his childhood and see if you can make a game of it to see if you can determine where he was born when he was a child, what he wanted to do and wasn't able to do, where he was stopped and he couldn't move forward as he wanted to do, as he is still trying to break through those barriers.
Thank you. The opening line that Terry said might have been needed, and she said, "We see that your husband does have passion." And next question is from Greg. Greg, when he walks under streetlights, he's in Post Falls, Idaho. They go out. It happens a lot. Once I walked under 8 lights in a row, and they all went out one right after the other when I walked under them. It's too often to be coincidental, and it's happened for years. Makes me feel kind of weird. When I heard this happened to Daphne and Terry, it made me feel a whole lot better. But it's still mysterious to me. Anyway, my question is, what could be going on here? And does this mean anything or signify anything about me, or is it just nothing? Thank you, Greg.
It implies that you have a very large field of very large electrical potential, and that you reroute the electricity when you walk under it. One thing that happened once to Terry was that she was sitting in a restaurant in British Columbia, Canada, and she was playing in the electrical wires near the ceiling of one of the rooms in the restaurant. And as she did it, it drew the whole current off of its center and knocked out the electricity for all of British Columbia. It is a moving off of the centering of the electrical current, which then causes the devices go off.
Thank you. Marcia is saying she's having a hard time hearing Terry, but Terry should try to speak louder. We're not using our normal phone setup today, so you'll have to bear with us. Okay, here's another one. Terry's low audio is low on BDF, can barely hear her. So, Terry, try to speak as loud as you can, okay? All right. Next question is from Andrew. Andrew, I don't have his location. His last name is Puddlebaum. Why do I feel an imperative response to become a martyr? I mean this on psychical, emotional, and physical realms. Moreover, how can I live the rest of my life in the fashion of growth rather than detriment? I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass my microphone over to Terry, and it'll probably be louder.
Thank you. Give us a moment. When you feel the martyrdom, notice the contraction. Notice the pull-in of energy. Notice the lack of reach out to others. Notice the feeling that you have. Check the emotions with that. Is there some grief, some loss? A loss of connection, a feeling of sadness, a feeling of like wanting to cry. You are a beautiful being, and this is a long time pattern. It is a feeling of not wanting to intrude, not wanting to be in the way. Take a look at these feelings when you have them, and then see if you can erase that feeling. You can release that feeling, and then think of the feeling of joy, of connection, and how beautiful your extension out to others really is, and the joy of connecting. And what, when you are in a martyrdom state, what other people will lose, in a way, it is thinking of yourself and leaving others out in projecting to your image of what they're doing as being better than or against you, and you having value in your martyrdom. Take it apart. What are your exact feelings there? Even write it down. And then notice the grief that you feel at martyrdom. Because at the bottom of things, you are a part of everything, and you are wanted to be a part of everything. And to let the martyrdom go.
Thank you. We have a question from W.M. Stevenson, and I think I'm going to answer this question, but this has been covered. Why don't the Elohim materialize in bodies and make themselves visible to some of us who would like to see them in solid 3D form? You know, there was a incident in 10,500 B.C., where the Ra group did materialize in bodies that were visible to people. And they register it as one of their greatest errors because it caused people to become blind followers. And when you take into consideration there are high negative sources that can do various things in this realm, like they can speak through people, they can do prophecies, they can be very psychic. And how could you tell if a body was walking around saying, "Hi, I'm the Elohim," if it was the Elohim? How could you prove it? And here, they want to say something.
We are amused in that if we took on a body, bodies are very limiting. They cannot see in 360-degree areas. They cannot get bigger and smaller suddenly. It is an imposition in space and time. It is a frigidity. And we then, even in the area of thinking, can think in more dimensions than simply in the third density, as the third density leaves out a lot of the frequencies that are available. So we do not see that this limited frigidity would be very much fun.
Thank you. How about the situation that happened with the Ra group where they mocked up a body that wasn't a real physical body just so people could see them?
When you mock up a body, it is a little bit better, but you still have the limitations of time and space to be able to appear in time and space.
Thank you. You know, news regarding your court date in Amarillo, Texas. We just send you love and blessings and light that you be treated fairly on that. And we'll leave it at that. And, this is a long one here. All right. Somebody. And I'm not going to talk about your multi-level marketing company, although I have heard that that's a good product, and I wish you well on it. Anna, you had sent me a really important one, more important than the one you just did right now, about things that were happening to you. And please send that to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Otherwise, I can't find it. All right? Keep in mind that I have to make this easy on myself. And when you send them to that email address, I can find your questions. And if you just reply, it's very easy for it to get lost in the shuffle. So please ask again. It was an important question. And Elizabeth Osmond asks, why can't you speak openly to people, and why must they communicate through the voice of a person? Again, I'll just make my own little side comment here. Both the negative and the positive can channel. Certain people have the talents to expand their fields to be receptive to this, but most people don't. And so it's kind of a gift, just like playing guitar or playing, being a painter, for somebody that has that talent. And also, they would be imposing on somebody's free will just to start talking to someone. And how would that person know if that voice was Elohim or some negative source? Okay, it's very tricky.
Thank you. We are a very high frequency, and we have tried when people pray, we have tried to communicate. However, we do not have a physical voice, and we have a very high frequency. So most of it goes right over people's heads. And maybe they get some sense that something has been answered or said, but they do not figure very often that it is real, because it is so high a frequency and so light. It is airy, and it is not as tangible as a real human voice.
I will mention that both Terry and Daphne, when they both started bringing these messages forth, both had the experience as if they were making it up. It's like got a surreal quality that it seems like it could be your imagination. And it's only when you look in depth at what was said that one realizes that neither of them could have possibly come up with most of the kinds of information and the wisdom and the knowledge of things out of their conscious mind. Although it seems like imagination. It seems like daydreaming. And so it's like mastering the art of doing that. And so it's not like in the human body we can decide, I'm going to talk to this person, or I'm going to get a megaphone and talk to lots of people at once. We're coming to an end at 6:57. I thank you all. Those are great questions tonight. And there was a couple questions that we didn't get to. Again, I tell people, if you ask something and we didn't ask your question tonight, please submit it again next week. And there were some good questions that we didn't get to. Trying to see the lady's name here. About the relationship of the Elohim and Ra to Jesus. We've asked that before. And you can ask it again next week. It's a good question. And on that note, we can have them say goodbye to us, and then we'll close the session.
It is our honor to be with you, to have the opportunity to connect. It is so long a time between times that we are able to connect to individuals in the third density. And it makes our life fuller and richer and happier. Thank you.
Thank you all, and thank you, BBS, and we'll see you Sunday on our greeting room.
Unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn. Be well.
Get some rest. Your conference recording has stopped.